What is up? My name is Kevin Wu, and I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, what's going on? It is Tuesday. That means I go on a Zoom call with my clients, and we discuss today about how to overcome imbalances, like if your left is weaker than your right, tips for staying on your nutrition plan. Somebody's finding themselves backsliding to bad habits, and that can be very common. HIIT training, plyometrics, is it good? Is it bad to kind of switch them up? Add that in there. Cardio, is it best for or after your workouts? How do you know if you're training hard enough? And how do you know if you're doing the exercise right? So let's go dive into the first one right away. Basically, how to overcome imbalances, right? So I would just say start with the weaker side. So for example, if your left bicep or your left, is weaker, you could just do like a single arm bicep curl itself, like unilateral one at a time, and start with your left side. Once you hit the failure point, just match reps with your right then, right? Even if your reps, let's just say you could do 30 pounds or 12 reps for your right side, but you can only do 30 reps for 10 reps on your left, just match it, right? So over time, it'll kind of catch up over there. I personally struggled with this on my bicep too as well, or let's just say even like my chest kind of felt like weaker, but the chest problem wasn't necessarily the muscle itself. It was just, I was very right dominant and I was pushing a lot with my right. So I just subconsciously or have to really think about pushing more with my left. And over time, it kind of balanced out over there, but it makes sense, right? So that is one tip. I remember when I was in-person training too as well, that actually really kind of helped a lot of my clients. Is like even like a dumbbell press, if let's say one side, the right's going up and the left's not as going much, just really focusing the left a lot more, like mentally, like putting your actual mental effort and thought into it actually could help a lot, right? It's like pushing my left, push my left, push my left, because your right's probably gonna go push up more naturally. All right, so with that being said, muscle balances can be normal, especially when you do start working out itself at first. Right, just because we are, you know, left-handed or right-handed, we're dominant on one of the sides, and that means we're probably carrying more things, let's just say groceries with the right hand, or, you know, groceries with the left hand, or just writing with your left hand or writing with your left itself, and those small little things from day to day and just added task over time can cause those little muscle imbalances. All right, so tips for staying on nutrition kind of plan. This first said, defining yourself slip back into bad habits. Now, there's a couple tips I'm going to kind of give. Now, let's just say you're really having a hard time even getting to the habit itself. I would say setting specific and realistic goals. Like, what is your exact definition of your nutrition goal, right? So for example, it's like, okay, I'm going to hit my protein intake today. I'm going to focus on hitting my protein intake every single day this week, right? It's a very simple thing itself. It's very specific too as well, right? Because like, you always have like a protein target goal. Let's say it's 180 grams. Like every single day, I'm going to make sure no matter what, I'm going to hit that goal, right? So you're finding foods itself, like chicken and egg whites or protein powder, and making sure you hit that goal and checking in on like the MyFitnessPal over there and making sure you hit that one, right? So even doing something small like that can make a big difference in the long run, because once you, let's say, are nailing down your protein every single day for the week, or the 2 weeks, you could focus on something else. Maybe it's hitting the carb goal or the fat goal itself to exact to the dot, right? Because maybe sometimes subconsciously for some people, they overthink, right? So it's like, oh no, I'm hitting my protein intake now, but I'm not hitting my carb and fats. I'm failing, right? And that's not necessarily the case over there. It's just small little micro adjustments that you might need. And that might depend on client to client, right? Because I have a lot of clients themselves. And sometimes I just break it down to small little goals, right? I just kind of give the full thing. And if some people do really well and some people can't follow it to exact in T. So I kind of go from there, right? Based on the feedback and how they're doing on the plan itself, I might need to break it down a little bit less, or, you know, just stick with the kind of full plan because you're doing absolutely 100% adherent to it, right? So it's kind of like giving that plan and kind of coaching them from there and seeing how they do with it. That's like mostly the kind of coaching is giving the feedback and kind of adjusting, giving the advice, and also implementing small things to make it fit your lifestyle itself and how you actually implement it. So that's what I find really cool about the coaching, because it's not like there's one formula kind of for everyone in terms of like how everybody kind of acts and how they think and how they kind of feel. All right, so the second example is, this is one I do with a lot of people too as well, and it is one that usually sets people up. Studies on this too as well, is if you eat the same first meal day, let's say it was like a bad meal. Let's say McDonald's itself, you ordered, I don't know, the breakfast wrap with more hash browns or big breakfast and pancakes. Then chances are every following meal after that one is not going to be healthy or not as great, right? So first meal of the day usually dictates how your day is going to go in a sense of like where your food's going to go. So this is one I really like to use that people kind of struggle to as well, is that they struggle with consistency, is always getting them to eat the same first meal of the day, right? So for example, like something maybe really easy, just throw in the oatmeal protein powder every single day without fail, first thing in the morning, right? Or that's the first meal of the day they do have, because that's going to set them up. And there's a lot of studies shown on this one itself, and which is why it's one of the big things I do kind of implement. And it's so simple too as well, right? Because maybe you have a hard time sticking with like meal 1, 2, 3, and 4 the same, which I don't even, right? I make some minor kind of adjustments itself. Like for example, yesterday for my kind of like the first meal, I just had chicken and green beans. For today, I had chicken and sweet potatoes and the green beans. The day before that itself, I had chicken, rice, and the green beans, right? So small little adjustments itself, kind of for me, depending on some little different factors of like when I do work out, on that kind of over there. So with that being said, it's all kind of dependent, right? But some people can do amazing. It's all kind of based on feedback and how you kind of act. All right. So secondly, is you plan preparatory meals. So take the time to plan your meals in advance. Like I like to do the night before itself, especially when I was like working in person and working like 5 jobs at the same time. First thing I would do, well, not first thing, it's last thing in the night itself, I would pack all my meals and put them in my fitness pouch, like, you know, like McChicken, potatoes, and the rice and like the meal prep containers, and stack them all in my fridge and prepare like 2 shakes over there. So that way in the morning, because, you know, usually in the morning, you're kind of more in the rush itself to get going and do things. So when you have to do it the night before itself, you just grab everything. I use like my cooler bag, like a 6-pack bag to have some ice cubes. But at one point I didn't have the 6-pack bag. So they just grabbed like a plastic bag, like you'd grab the grocery stores and put like ice packs there, and just brought it to like the work where they had their little fridge. And I just brought it there with like a fork, right? So super simple on that kind of aspect. Cause when you do have those planned to prepare meals, you are so much more likely to go actually eat them, because like there's no reason subconsciously not to, right? Let's just say someone brought some food to kind of work, then there might be a slight kind of reason in your head, be like, oh, there's food at work. But then again, you do have your planned meal itself, and it's like, oh, I'll have that meal too, right? So it's a little internal dialogue and debate, but just having those planned meals right there, it's going to make you that much more likely to actually eat them, right? So that's basically what we're trying to do in terms of your environment and into your whole lifestyle, is make things a lot easier and more adherable, right? Because if you're, let's just say, if you were in, out of Las Vegas and you're just had options to buffets as only as foods, you probably would maybe, you know, get a little more fatter, right? Put on some weight after that one. If you only had options to, let's just say, I don't know, a Chipotle, and they only let you get the Chipotle bowl with the salad and double protein itself. And this is probably really a bad example, but like, it's what you have kind of options to and making it easier at the end of the day. All right. So, all right, Peru, you raise your hand. What's up?
I had a quick question.
Yeah.
So if we had to say, consider a situation where either we hit the protein goal or we go over our stipulated calories, which one would you think would be a better option?
Yeah. Why would you go over your calories?
Okay. So hitting the calories is more critical than hitting the protein.
No, hitting the protein.
In some cases.
Or about foreign. So if you go under your calorie goal and hit your protein goal itself, that it would be more productive for fat loss, actually.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because that protein, gotcha. Cool. We keep that muscle and just lose that fat over there. But at the same time, too, as well, you might kind of struggle with different things if we under eat. Let's just say if we ate 1,000 calories and it was just from protein itself, and the next following day you might get a lot more kind of hungry itself, and then, you know, like you mentioned kind of earlier, and with the extra hunger, if you kind of cave into one thing and just overeat, then it might throw off the whole deficit, and that's where kind of the problems come, and that's why we don't do that low calories, right? So
does that make sense? Yep, perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. So at the end of the day, it's always trying to make things more adherable into your environment, but also make it as easy as we can to lose this weight in the best possible solutions. All right, so preparing meals in batches, or your at least your foods. Like for example, I cooked my batch of chicken breast this morning on the grill. I cooked my batch of ground turkey like 2 days ago for cooking potatoes, probably like 5 days ago, because I don't eat that many carbs anymore as I'm cutting down more and more. And rice, I cooked that like 2 days ago itself. I still have some. So always cook in the big batches over there. Vegetables, I use the frozen, and I just microwave them from the frozen, and I have a big batch in my fridge. is let them sit in your refrigerator, right? Because this will help you avoid impulsive and unhealthy food choices. Because let's just say after a long day of work, you have all the raw meats in your fridge, like just ground turkey, the chicken breast, nothing cooked itself, then you're that much more likely to go out to eat itself and get something, right? And that might not fit into your calorie goals. Or just when we kind of do go out to eat itself, we tend to crave those higher calorie fatty foods like a pizza or burger, because that's just how our body's kind of wired. And that might just throw off your deficit for the week, right? So just having all those kind of foods already kind of prepped and sitting there, it makes it that much more easier to make sure we can stay on track, right? Because at the end of the day, if let's just say we were all robots and just follow instructions, all of us would be very fit, right? I'll have six packs walking around and just jacked, because we don't have the emotional component to that, right? Robots don't get hungry, robots don't feel sad, robots don't feel stressed, right? They just do what's there, right? So we just kind of move the emotional component, where in this case scenario, we're trying to make things as easy as we can and more accessible, and make our environments as conclusive as can to our fat loss by having these things around. Hopefully that makes sense. All right, so finding healthy alternatives can definitely help out too as well. Like for example, if you like burgers, right? Instead of going to eat and maybe it's like a big Five Guys burger with like 1300 calories, you make your own burger, right? Like a ground turkey burger, grab some sugar-free barbecue sauce, some ground turkey, make your own little patty over there itself, and that could satisfy the craving and only maybe have like 400 calories or 300 calories even, right? So ice cream too as well. Like I personally have this Ninja Creamy guy. Oh my God, I've been using it every single day. Best thing in my life. So I'm finding protein ice cream recipes themselves with that one. I'm using that one now. But before even this, I found a lot of protein ice cream recipes just using a blender. And I was doing that a lot, even from last prep itself, going to my show. And they definitely helped out, right? So lower calorie alternatives that allow you to have that craving and satisfy that, but it's inconclusive to your goals too as well. It's helping you get there. Or even like cheesecake. Cheesecake was like my biggest guilty pleasure. At Cheesecake Factory, I know like each slice like 1200 calories is ridiculous. And I can't, I did it like twice in my life. Yeah, once in Dubai, once in Toronto after my show got canceled there. And my God, those things are so good. But having like a protein cheesecake or finding a recipe online that's significantly lower calories itself and higher protein itself can help you satisfy that craving and still make sure you hit that goal, right? So there's a lot of different kind of ways themselves. You don't have to feel deprived and actually stick your plan and still get towards your goals, right? It's a lot of creative different ways. You just kind of search them up over there. And I did a lot of research and a lot of searching YouTube videos, Instagram, TikTok, really easy now too as well, to kind of find those different recipes, right? It's probably something, everything out there. All right, portion controls too as well. I actually find that using smaller plates and bowls, like let's just say you, like for my, when I'm bulking, I use the bigger spoons when I'm cutting. Like right now I find like the smallest fork and smallest spoon just so my meals last longer. And as simple as that sounds, it actually can help. Or even like the bowl, like let's just say I don't have too much food, if I use a smaller plate, it visually looks bigger just because it fills out the plate so much more. And just mentally it's like, okay, I'm eating more, right? So even small things like that can help you with the hunger and just make it better. And I personally find that smaller meals more frequently helps manage my hunger itself. Like if I have bigger meals themselves but like less frequent itself, then I do get way more hungry in between. That's just kind of how my personal body works and might be different for you, right? And I would say last one to really make sure that you're able to stay on for tips for staying on nutrition plan and not go back to bad habits is surrounding yourself. So surrounding yourself with people who are doing this or trying to better themselves in that aspect can absolutely help, right? Like this community itself that we do kind of have, or just like a workup partner in person, or just some friends, or maybe it's a girlfriend itself on this aspect and supporting you can definitely help. Like I personally had like a lot of clients, like their, let's say partner itself, they didn't work out. And then I had a lot of partners who did work out and join them in the journey. And the ones that joined them in the journey or really kind of support them in that aspect, work together, they're the ones that are fucking crushing it way more, right? And the ones that are kind of like, they don't work out itself and it's a lot kind of harder because they're eating all the time, or it might be like, why aren't we eating out? Why aren't we doing this? Or they just don't get it. Those are ones that sometimes do kind of struggle a little bit more, right? And they have to find external sources itself on this kind of aspect, and it can make it a lot kind of harder, right? So just having that support system, people around you itself, like I personally, right now in my prep, I've been following a lot of, I guess, top, like a lot of pros, IV pros in my sport right now. And also just like filling up my newsfeed with those kind of guys, and a lot of them follow me back. I was like, oh shoot, that's pretty cool. And just watching a lot of YouTube videos on that, just because I don't really have many people in person. I only know like one pro in like my kind of gym I made friends with more recently, and I'm like surrounding myself, I'm talking to him all the time, but just being around like those people that are at a higher level or like at the body you do want to, subconsciously makes you want to push harder, right? Because if there's like five guys, let's say they're best friends itself, and you hang out all the time, you're gonna want to be one of them, you're gonna want to get into that shape, right? It's just so natural for us to kind of want to be like that and do that. So honestly, surrounding yourself is one of the biggest things I'm personally kind of doing right now, because I have to go out of my way to actually do this too as well, because to the level I'm trying to get at, there's not many people who do that, but also do compete itself. And the ones that do compete I know around me are like a very low level itself. So I have to surround myself with the people that are high level who I want to be like. And honestly, it's making me push that much harder. And it's almost, I would say it's making it almost like easier itself, just because I want to do it so much more. And it's not almost as much of a drag as much as it's killing me every single day. My sleep is absolute shit. All right. So moving on to the next one over here. That's a big one that people don't talk about though. It's just surrounding yourself with people who have those goals or are doing better or have that body or just like really push themselves. I honestly have to say that is such a big one, and one that I neglected for a long period of time once I kind of did start doing that like at different levels in my life. Now I'm trying to step it up even a higher level. Honestly, game changer. So HIIT and plyometrics, as location mix up, is it good or bad? So what are the benefits of HIIT first? Is I would say it's more time efficient, right? So people who are really busy itself, you can definitely improve your cardiovascular. And also it is something that is, I do add in terms of cardio wise, once you're really nailing down your nutrition, especially your protein and like your sleep, because doing HIIT training, which is basically high intensity interval training, it's harder to recover from, and you need to nail down recovery and also like your nutrition wise, like protein intake. Otherwise your daily energy levels are going to suffer a lot, and your ongoing workouts, you're going to get weaker itself, right? So that's why I make sure when I do program like HIIT training or HIIT cardio itself, you have those things kind of nailed down. And I don't program HIIT cardio itself for people who are trying to gain muscle, because it's hard to recover from, and it's kind of all opposite to that kind of goal of trying to put on as much mass. But if you guys, let's just say, want to try out HIIT for weight training, it is kind of higher risk kind of for injury in this aspect. And if you really want to try it, like let's just say like those med ball kind of circuits, going on the rowing machine and doing that all fast pace itself, more like circuit training, we can talk about switching over. It's not as great for muscle building, especially if you want that like beach ball look with more like the muscles and really stand out. Especially if you don't really have muscle to begin with, you're definitely not going to build that kind of body. But if you join the intensity of it and just like workout style and want to switch it up, we definitely time to talk about it over there, because ultimately in the day, if it's something you really do enjoy, then that's some kind of workout that you should be including, right? Because adherence is the number one thing to really get towards that dream body. All right. But you also do remember is what built your muscle is what going to keep your muscle. So let's just say all of a sudden I switch to HIIT training right now, cut all my weights and do like med ball slams, just rowing and all that circuits. I guarantee you I'm going to shrivel up and lose a lot of muscle itself, just because what built my muscle is what's going to keep my muscle, right? And this is why also strength is a very high correlation to how much muscle you're going to keep. And my strength this cut itself is pretty much, I would like pretty much the same as my off season on my peak of my bulk over there. So, and I'm definitely noticing my body retain a lot more muscle and just have the fullness compared to before. All right. So cardio best before, best for or after workouts. I would say absolutely after. You could do warm up with 5-10 minutes, get the blood flowing if you want to, but it's better after, because you want to use your energy for your weight training sessions to push as much weight so you can build as much muscle, but or as keep as much as of it as you can in a cut, right? Because if you guys do use up energy for the cardio, it's going to impact your training performance. That's going to impact how much weight you can lift and your strength levels. Like I mentioned earlier, your strength levels are directly correlated with the amount of muscle you keep. So if you do lose that strength, you're probably going to lose a lot of muscle too as well, right? So that's why cardio after workout is going to be much better. Also too as well, when you do deplete your glycogen storages, basically when you push yourself, and because when you eat carbs, you store glycogen and you burn through those through your weight training session, and then you do the cardio after, it's going to tap into your fat storages a lot kind of better. All right. So how do you know if you're training hard enough? This one is something I really like, because people always kind of misjudge this one. Involuntary slowing on the reps. So if your last few reps get slower on like the concentric, so concentric is when you're pushing against it. So let's just say like a dumbbell bench press, when you're pushing up and your movement's getting slower, because let's just say you're going like this, and then all of a sudden the last couple reps. Like, this is not intentionally, right? You're really trying to push as hard as you can and start to slow down. And your last few reps are getting slower and slower and slower. That's how you know you're probably training kind of hard enough over there, right? And it's going to gradually slow down and slow down and slow down until you literally just cannot move it anymore, right? And too many people stop before that kind of points to get there. Like, I see it all the time with a lot of clients come to me struggling to see the changes, is like, all the reps look really smooth and just stop. And then I'm just like, and they don't even look like you push themselves, no facial expressions or nothing itself. I'm like, yeah, this is why your body's not really changing, right? And yeah, so you guys may make sure that you actually push yourself in the gym over there. And that's one way to know. And if you're not really sure, well, you should know, because when you're doing the reps, you like, it feels like forever. Like when I was doing my reps today itself, like, I'm like, holy crap. Like, it feels like 2 years gone by doing the rep, because it feels, you know, so hard and really pushing it itself. So yeah, you'll feel yourself slowing down and it will feel like forever. That's all to say. All right. How do you know if you're doing the exercise right though? So you could always ask yourself, okay, what muscle is this supposed to work, right? Or primarily supposed to work? Because I know, like, you know, deadlifts can work multiple muscle groups, but let's just say on a bench press, what muscle is this supposed to work? Ask yourself that, right? And if you don't know, you can always Google it. You can always ask me. So bench press, primarily the chest. That's what we're trying to build, right? So now when you're doing the exercise, where do you feel it, right? So ask yourself, where do you feel it, right? And maybe it's, you feel it sometimes mostly in the shoulders, itself, and you're supposed to feel in the chest, right? So probably not doing it right then, right? So let's just say you're feeling most in the triceps, probably not doing it right then. Small little adjustments in your form or what you're doing to kind of tweak that. Does something feel off, right? Now, are you feeling pain that is not muscular pain? Like if you're feeling lower back pain when you're doing leg press, right? You know, going back to the first question, what muscle is supposed to work? My quads, my legs. Why am I feeling lower back pain? So that means you're not doing the exercise right, right? You can always record the videos and send them to me as well. Let me know and I'll be happy to kind of help you out over there. Do that for all my clients over there. You have direct access to me for that, right? So that's how you know if you're doing the exercise right on that kind of point. And hopefully that kind of makes sense over there. I always ask though, it was like, what muscle is this supposed to work, right? Because let's say even lateral raises, if you're feeling a lot more in the traps itself instead of the shoulders, then you're probably not doing it right, right? Some small little tweaks can go a long way and actually help you develop that muscle itself. All right, so that was it for the topics. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in their 20s trying to lose weight and get abs the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWu_. That is KevinWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.